We're going to continue this morning. What are you still doing up here, Brandon? Come on, let's go. I'll just go. I'm kidding. I know when people are praying and I'm like trying to get everything out. Yeah, get out of there. We're going to continue this morning looking at the life of Simon Peter. And we're going to continue on in our series, Simon Says. And I'm excited about this morning because we're going to do something a little bit different. And you guys might think, oh, different. Here we go. Yeah. You're going to have to just bear with me as we go through this. I want you guys to use your imagination. Some of you might be like, huh? Some of you might have to dust it off. Lane, you're always using your imagination. Don't woo me. Some of you might have to dust it off a little. That's fine. I want you to create images in your mind. So I'm going to walk you through some things. And I want you to create images in your mind. I had a lady come up to me after service and she was like, hey, when you're going through, when we have our eyes closed, speak a little slower. So that way we can formulate these images. Not a problem. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. So we have spent the last several weeks looking at the Apostle Peter. That's what we've done. But I'm going to take a bit of a different swing at it this morning. We're going to talk about him. We definitely will. But I'm going to look at the crippled beggar found in Acts chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles and you like to open up your Bibles, you can open them up to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at their interaction verses 1 through 10. I'll give you a second to do that, and then I'm going to get you into the imagination part, which I'm sure you'll love. And I really want to take a moment and try, if we can, to see life through the eyes of this crippled man. Okay? So you're going to have to do me a favor. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. You are the crippled beggar. Got it? You wake up as you do every morning, lying in what shambles you call a bed. They're more like a bunch of rags or cloaks piled up on the ground. You've wet yourself because you just don't have any control over your bowels. This is not uncommon for you. So you bear it no real mind as you begin to clean yourself. You look down at your legs. They are shriveled pieces of bone and flesh connected to you, but you do not know them. You've never felt them, not since the day you were born. You don't know what it's like to walk. You do not know what it is like not to have to struggle to move from one place to another. You rely heavily on your family and friends to move you around. But a typical day sees you sitting at the gate, begging for whatever scraps or money the people are generous enough to give you. You look for someone, anyone to show pity on you. You are no child. You are grown, over 40 years old. Your arms and back ache from the physical toll they take each and every day. You look each day at the people passing by, begging and pleading for some sort of help. Your situation is truly a grim one, as a typical cripple does not live much past your age now. You feel as though you are a burden to everyone around you, yet there is nothing you can do about it. Your hope fails. And your outlook is not good. You look down at your legs and wish that you could feel them. You wonder what it must be like to feel your legs and to do what everyone else takes for granted, to simply walk. You do not ask for what you believe cannot be done. So your begging consists of asking for alms, day in and day out. Open your eyes. This is what a typical day in someone who is crippled since birth might look like. And he had his legs, but he never knew them, never felt them, not even from the day that he was born. What do you think this man's hope looked like? If I could ask you to rewind just a couple seconds when you had your eyes closed and you were living a moment as this man, did you have any sense of hope? Could you, as this man, have any sense of a future at all. How did being in that illustration and being that man, even for a moment, how did that make you feel? We've heard about alms in several movies. I learn things every time I prepare to speak. And alms is the new thing for me. I've heard it millions of times. How many of you in here know what an alm is? Really? There's some. Okay, cool. I didn't. So if you didn't raise your hand, don't feel bad. An alm, it comes from an old English word called almesi, which is A-E-L-M-E. Oh, there it is. I put it up on the screen. Oh, look at that. I forgot I did that. It comes from a Greek word meaning pity or mercy. So when you're asking for alms, you're asking for someone to show pity on you, for someone to be merciful to you, which is pretty cool. I can't believe I just did that. When you're giving alms, in a sense, you're dispensing mercy. Now, the Apostle Peter was traveling with John to the temple when they encountered this man, this crippled beggar at the gate. So Peter decided to engage in conversation with the man, and he tells him, like, I don't have any money to give you, but what I'm going to give you is worth more than that. Any gold or silver you could possibly imagine, this is the gift that I'm going to give you. Acts 3:3-7. Let's read it. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, mercy, pity. Peter directed his gaze at him and said, as did John, and said, look at us. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's going to be important. Remember that. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Man, Jesus does so many amazing things that we can read of in the Bible, that we can see Him working in our lives, doing around the world, that sometimes we become numb to those amazing things that He does. Wait a minute. Did you just say that you become numb to the working of Jesus? Yes. More often than not, we become numb to these things, and they don't really even faze us. We read about a crippled man being able to walk through the power of Jesus, and we're like, okay. We're not like, dude, this is the God that knows me personally. This is what's happening right now. Man, think about when I had you be the crippled beggar just a few moments ago. What emotions did you feel? Despair? Hopelessness? Every time I prepare for a lesson, I always run through my lesson. And if I'm asking you guys to do things, then I'll do it myself. And trust me when I say, I won't ever ask you to do something I'm not doing myself. But when I sat as the crippled beggar and I read, and I just really immersed myself in his life, you know what I started to feel? I started to feel anxiety. Like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I can't use my legs now. Wait a minute. Like, I'm having to rely on somebody to drag me or carry me to the temple gate. What if they don't? What do I do then? Do I drag myself there? Do I beg by my doorstep? Like, where am I living? Like, a million things are going through my head. And this is all he knew. You understand, it says in the Bible, it says in the Scripture that he was crippled since birth, that he knew nothing else. 40 plus years, this man, and this is all he had ever known, was to be crippled. But in an instant, Jesus changed all of that. He said, no, I'm going to give you this gift. Man, he was shown a life and given a life that he only dreamed about, and a life that he saw other people just walking along, taking for granted. I wonder what joy was in that man's heart. What joy exuded from that man as God granted him the ability to walk. I wonder if he had ever felt joy as much as he did that day. How many of us can relate to this crippled beggar? If you can't, I'm going to make some comparisons that you might find enlightening. this man, this crippled man, sat and he begged at the temple gate. But what did he beg for? He begged for pity and mercy. He begged for money. He begged for food. Man, things that would help him sustain his life. And many of the times, the things that we desire are things that aren't inherently bad. Money and food to this man was not inherently bad. They were life-saving things. But we sit and we beg for things that'll help us and sustain us. We plead and pray and ask for things that will make our life easier, so we don't have to work as hard. I get it. I do that too sometimes. We wish and ask for the things that the world has to offer. Before we knew Jesus, we knew no different. And that's kind of what we did. But that excuse no longer flies, because we know Him. I can draw many comparisons between my life and the life of the crippled beggar. Listen to this. I wanted the things of the world. I begged at the temple gate. I was crippled and begged at the temple gate for the things of this world. I just wanted a little bit. Just somebody to give me a start, to give me a kick, to give me whatever I needed to get me to the place that I needed to get. But I was looking for the world to do that rather than me. Man, these things that I think about now, the eternal things that I try to place my mind on a consistent basis, weren't even a part of my vocabulary. Eternal life, heaven, no. They were unrealized to me. Just like I believe the crippled man's desire to walk was not on his. Now you're thinking to myself, wait a minute. This crippled man, he's crippled. He's probably going to be asking everybody, heal me. Make me well. I'm going to tell you one more thing. The man was 40. He was not 10. He was not 8. He wasn't 15. He was 40. 40 years of doing the same thing, begging day in and day out. Do you think he was begging for people to heal him and make him well so that he could walk? He was begging for money and food that he needed to survive. I can relate why. I was the crippled beggar. So were you. Before Jesus got a hold of you, redeemed you, and made you whole. But here's how I can relate now. Because I take this body, the body that Jesus has given me, the body that's been made whole, and I walk back over to the fountain, or the gate, and I lay myself back down, and I begin to beg. I look and say, I'm going to take this gift, and I'm going to push it off to the side, and I'm going to sit back down, and pretend that I'm crippled so that somebody can help me. I'm not going to use what Jesus has given me. I'm going to ask you to give me what I need. You being the world. Romans 6, 1-4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been... I messed this up. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. To walk in the newness of life. Far too many of us look at that as a gift that we have not received yet. Well, I haven't died, and so I'm not really going to heaven yet, so that's really a gift that I don't have to deal with. Let me tell you, it's far easier to trade a gift in your life that is unrealized. Why? Because a gift that is unrealized in your life bears no weight, it bears no value at all. So it is very easy for us to look at it and go, I'm going to trade that in, because it doesn't really mean anything to me, because I'm not seeing any benefit in my life from it, right? Man, when I was younger, I don't know how many of you have ever sold insurance in here, but let me tell you what, I was an insurance salesman. I know that makes me seem like weird, but I'm not. They're actually really cool people. But insurance salesman, I sell you a car insurance, home insurance, no problem at all. When it comes to life insurance, nobody wants it. Why? Because my car, I can walk out and see that I need protection for my car. I can look at my home and say, something's going to break in my home and I need protection for that. But I'm not going to die. Daryl, you know what's up. I'm not going to die. Why do I need life insurance? And so my job was to try to get these people to understand that there is value in something that you cannot physically hold in your hand. That you're going to need it. And it's better to have it when you need it than not. But my job was to, at some way, and I wasn't very good at it, to be honest, Daryl, to ascribe value to that which people don't really have a value to. They don't think about dying. Man. Now we take this and we apply this to our walk with God, and we take it and we lay it over our life. And we receive this gift, but we haven't changed. It's not affecting us in any way. People would ask me, well, why do I need life? It's not affecting me. My life isn't negatively affected on the daily because I don't have it. If our life is not affected daily because of the gift of Jesus in our life, are you realizing that gift? What value does it have? The gift is Jesus on the cross dying for you. What value does that have? And this passage is talking about the very thing. We've been given a new life, that the old has come, the old is gone, and the new has come, that we are not who we were before. And we are not that crippled beggar. There is no need for us to sit and beg any longer. Listen to what happens when the crippled man is given the gift. Listen to this, Acts 3:8-10. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping. This dude was probably like the old Irish, like click your heels together. I tried it for a service. I almost hurt myself. But like, and just like leaping around like, ah, yeah. People are like, what's up with this guy? Let me keep going. All the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, asking for mercy. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Hey, so Peter and John are walking into the temple and there's this dude like walking behind them, probably like, just like strutting his stuff. And they're like, what? What's that guy? Wait a minute! It's that crippled dude! Crippled guy, didn't say to you. It's that crippled dude out there. Could it be? Wait a minute. I think it's interesting, and I always like to play things out, like, what if you were one of the people that walked by that crippled guy and tossed him a coin? You're like, yeah, here's a coin. Did my stuff for the crippled guy, I'm good. And you walked into the temple to pray. And then all of a sudden you see him dancing in the temple. If you have any faith, would it not grow in that moment and go, dude, this dude was crippled and now he's walking, he's jumping, he's leaping. What? Faith. Wow. What if you were the one person that walked by and was like, I'm not helping you. Get out of here. And then he walked up to you and he's like, check it out, legs. And you're like, maybe that seed of faith that someone had planted grows, sprouts, does something within you. Does something. Now let me tell you what, that the rulers and elders at the time didn't like this at all. They're like, listen, you need to shut up. Can I say that? You need to be quiet. Sorry. You need to be quiet. And Peter's like, no. I just brought 5,000 people to Jesus. Like, I'm on cloud nine. You're not going to make me shut up. He used that time to exalt Jesus. He's sitting in front of the elders and they're like, oh, what's going on? He's like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. They're like, okay, just leave quietly. If you can do that, just like, go out the back door, don't tell anybody about what you saw. And he goes, absolutely not. I'm going to tell people about what I've seen and what I've heard. Why? Because it's all that I know. And it's all that I can say. They had no answer for it. The reason I say that is because the change in this man's life was indisputable, and they weren't about to hide that. They weren't about to take that and put it under a rock. The change that Jesus has done in your life is indisputable. Why? Because it's the manifestation of God in your life, and no one can tell you different than that. So talk about it. When you have people that walk by you, and maybe they help you, or people that walk by you, and maybe they don't at all. When they see this, when they see the value that's placed on that gift, when they see the change that's been done in your life, they will stand in amazement and awe at the things that God has done. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. I just want to let you know, and it's not about you. And you have no hand in this gift, except for to accept it. You're not good enough to be saved. You're not bad enough to be saved. It's through your faith in God, the gift that He offered when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross. What are you doing with the gift? If you sit idly by at the temple gate still, can I ask you a question? Is there any faith left at all in you? If this is your life, to continue to beg. Romans 3:21-25. This will be the last passage we do this morning. But now the righteousness of God had been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Gift by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. I put this up on screen so that you understand that all of us need the gift. Every single one of us. And that it truly is a gift. It has been given to you and given to me. We were the crippled man, unable to walk, begging for what the world had to offer, until Jesus showed us something different. If you receive the gift, and then you walk back to the temple, to the gate, and sit down, what value does it have to you? Because we take this and we go, And we literally fall back at our knees at the temple gate and begin to beg as though we were never with Jesus, as though we'd never encountered Jesus. Why? How can you know this? Take Jesus out of your life for one moment. Rip Him away. Are you any different? Other than the fact that you're here now, is your life any different? If the answer is no, maybe it's time to reevaluate that gift in your life. And don't forsake it now because you're not seeing an immediate benefit, because it's not something that you can physically hold tangible in your hand. And by that, by abandoning it, I mean, don't act as though you never received the gift. Don't be, what do you think would happen if the crippled man was healed? He was like, oh my gosh, I can walk. Hold on. Pity. Can I have some mercy, please? What would the gift look like if that was his reaction? But he didn't do that. He jumped up and he was like, look, dude, I got legs. I got legs. These things were shriveled. They didn't work. You got to see this. And people were like, what? Who is this guy? We know him. People know you. Do they know what Jesus has done in your life? Rejoice in what He's done. Rejoice in the fact that He saved you from your sin. Rejoice in the fact that you don't any longer have to be entangled by the things that bring you down. Listen to me. Jesus has given you power and victory over your sin. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? He's given you victory over your temptation. He has given you victory over the things in your life that seek to strangle you and take you away from Him. This morning, you have God inside of you. You've been given the power to overcome these things. Believe it this morning. What did Simon say when the man was healed? He said, I don't have anything else that I can give you, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. That is what we need to be doing. Let's pray. God, thanks for this time. Thank you so much for the life of the crippled man showing us, God, that when we receive this gift from you, God, that we just need to use it. We just need to jump up and down and scream from the mountaintops at all the amazing things that you've done. God, help us to never become so numb to your working and leading in our life, God, that we just pass over it without a second glance. God, the gift that we've been given is so valuable. It's immeasurable in its value. Father, help us not to discount it. Father, keep us away from the temple gate. Let us beg there no longer. You've given us, you've made us whole, Father. Help us to use that to proclaim your name until the whole world hears, God. We love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.